So right now we're on the Blaze 25, a collection of 25 principles that we find as a church important. And so today we're going to go to character qualities. And I'm going to start out with a question. What is love? Not the verb love, like the things you do, but like the actual noun of love. Anyone have any ideas? Thoughts? I'll give you a moment. So the interesting thing is there's a verse on this, actually. Anyone want to get 1 John 4:7 through 8? This is going to explain what love is. And I'm not going to say the rest of the answers are wrong. This is just another right answer that I think sums up the rest of them. God is love, and that's like the highest level, like biggest elevation that we could put to love, you know, that God is love, because God's character is so nuanced and has so many elements to him, his emotion and his love, but also he can correct us sometimes, and it's all love, different aspects of love, part of his character. And Jesus said, you know, greater love has no one than this to lay one's life down for one's friends. And Jesus did that for us. That was the ultimate display of love, in my opinion. You know, if you're new here, you know, the Bible says that our sin earns us death. But what Jesus did was pay for that with his own death so that we can live forever. So, yeah, if you know, want to talk about that and how you might be able to have that, then, you know, you can come see me or Nick afterward, and we'd be glad to tell you. But you can also see that in the Old Testament. It's all throughout the Bible. It's in God's character. You know, God's mercy to the Israelites, you know, his chosen people back in the Old Testament, you know, they kept running away from him, running away, and then they'd get into trouble, and they'd be like, oh, I gotta save these guys, even though, you know, he had every right to destroy them at that point, but he didn't. He kept trying to correct them and make them better and save them. And that's a striking dichotomy, because the in the broader culture right now, the thought is, you know, God is ruthless in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament he comes up and Jesus is like all fuzzy and warm and everything, and he's forgiven everybody, and it's like, no, God is love yesterday, tomorrow, today, all the time, because of what you see in the Old Testament, the way he was merciful. So, question is, if God is love, though, we're supposed to look like it, we know we're supposed to mirror him, what does love look like? Like, what's a small snapshot? Because I just described that the whole Bible has, you know, elements of God's love in it and shows it throughout the whole scripture, but we want to just get a, you know, a peek through the keyhole as far as what love looks like. I think we could go to 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7. Does anyone have that memorized still? I know it was a while ago, but it was one of the memory verses. Well, if somebody wants to look that up, that would be cool. Walter.
Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
So all of that is culmination of God's character reflected in us. So God is all that and does all that for us. He loves us, and he always protects us, you know. Gives us an element. There's an element of trust too, because he, you know, he gives us the power to affect his decisions through prayer, oftentimes. So there's there's perseverance. Okay, so thing is, though, this is supposed to be about like our character, right? So how do we? What does that have to do with us, basically, is the next question. So that comes down to the beginning, Genesis 1:26, if somebody wants to start looking that up. Really talks about how we were set apart and made different than animals and made similar to God all the way from the beginning. So, like, literally the first chapter of the Bible. Anyone want to read that? So that makes it pretty clear that we're different than animals because we rule over the stuff that's on the ground and whatnot. And we are like God in some kind of way. And people have a lot of different interpretations on what that exactly means. I don't think it's that we're physically like God. I don't think God has, like, fleshly arms and legs and stuff. But I think it's God's character that it's talking about, because you think about animals, they don't have the nuanced character that God has and that we're capable of. Like, the element of discipline of children, for example. God is loving towards us. He acts like a father towards us. So he disciplines us, he corrects us. And that's all out of love. But, you know, animals, from what I've seen, they're capable of, like, either hatred or affection. So there's no complication, no nuance in there, which is what God introduces, and I think that's embedded in us too, and it's part of God's character and ours. So some extra proof of that, back in 1 John that we read earlier, said that everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And it doesn't say, like, you know, if you love, then you probably know God, or you know, most people who love know God. No, it's like everyone who loves, you know, has that true love that God wants us to have is born of God and knows God, is what it says. So that's clear that once we get to know God and once we accept him as Lord, we start to return back to that state that we were before the fall. Of course, we never get perfectly there before, you know, we go up to be with God forever. But we do begin to be restored. And that's clear that after salvation, we become closer to God. So we're more accurately able to love and reflect the image that he gave to us in the beginning. And that's not something that we have to strive towards either, or something that's like, oh, I have to, here's God's image, let me try and fit myself carefully into the box. It's God's desire too for us. It's parents, you ever heard like a kid say, like, oh, I want to grow up to be just like you, and then you see the parent, they smile and they kind of look back, like, admirably, especially in movies when it's all wistful and stuff, but but yeah, it happens in real life too. And I think when we do that with God, it pleases him, because that's how he created us in the beginning. But of course, just like God is perfection, and that's not going to happen on this side of heaven because we have all this worldly stuff coming at us, from temptation to just influences from people who are still in the world that we have to reach out to and have to be around. So while we are being made closer to that, we've been saved and we're being sanctified, which I'll get to those terms later. We are not perfect yet, but we should want to be like God because God is awesome. And he's chosen to be our father figure, his creator. But there's also a clear, like, second qualifier in 1 John 4, 7-8, the verse we read earlier, that it says not just that people who are born of God, but people who are born of God and know God, love. And knowing God isn't a requirement for salvation either. It's something that happens as you spend time in prayer, and spend time in the Word, and you're just learning God's character. Because you can, of course, be saved, but never prayed one prayer or read none of the Bible, but had it explained to you. You really have to dig in and really try to understand God's character through the Bible. And as you begin to realize that, you begin to, it rubs off on you. Yeah, rubs off. So that's one other reason that it's important to be reading and praying daily, so that you can begin to emulate God's character even better. And of course, God's awesome, so you want to get to know him anyway. So. But one thing, how many of y'all have been, you don't have to answer this question, but it's just something, they have been tempted to wonder, what if I don't ever measure up, What if I never match God's desires? I can't ever please him. I can't ever beat this one thing in my character that doesn't match up with God's. But the cool thing, the cool thing is that later in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love never fails. That's an element of God's character too. God, he's infallible. He's God. Like, he has power over everything. And he desires for us to draw closer to him and be sanctified. So we will be, as long as we go along with him and join the journey with him. And then you will be made, your character will be refined. So that's all kind of summed up in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, 10 through 13. Somebody could be looking that up too. But it's really just talking about how spiritual maturity, as we call it, comes as we walk with God and we learn from him. And then it'll talk about the culmination of that, the final thing that we get once we are in eternity with God. Bill?
But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully.
Yeah, so we who follow God, we will become what he wants, because he's God, we're his children, cares about us, and he never fails. So this verse applies to us. You might feel like a child right now, but the reality is you're being sanctified, you're being made better by God, as long as you're praying and trying to get to know him. And God's patient with us with that, too. That's an attribute of love that we read earlier. It's It's not ruthless. So, this is a cool infographic. I wouldn't make any doctrine out of this, but it's kind of like, it kind of sums up what I'm talking about a little bit. So, you know, when we're not Christians, unfortunately, we're kind of stuck in the cycle of sin and character flaws. We don't really have much power to change it because Satan's kind of reigning and doing his thing on the earth, and just, it's gross. And then at conversion, we are then able to have the Holy Spirit and guidance from God, so it's kind of a shoot up in our character. And then throughout Christian life, as we get to know God, we become more and more in accordance to the verse we talked about earlier. And then death is actually not too bad for us, because because not only do we get eternity, but we get to finally culminate with the perfect character that God wants us to have, perfect holiness after death. So my point is, if you feel like you're somewhere down here and you're like, oh, I'm, you know, the lowest of the Christians, that's not the truth. We are all given the Holy Spirit. We're all given a voice and something to say, and God is capable of talking to us and improving us, and he's patient with us because he knows of this process too. And also, at this point right here, we're no longer sinners anymore. Kind of, I don't know about you, but it kind of like gets on my nerves a little bit when people who are Christians call themselves sinners. I'm like, no, at this point we're not, because the Bible says we're saints after that. That's our new identity. And at that point, God has saved us and we're saints. So the salvation part is Jesus justifying us, paying for our sins, so we're made perfect in God's eyes. And then the sanctification part, which you'll hear people say if you're not familiar, is us being continually made better in this process. And that's what's happening with you all, too. And the cool thing is, if you don't believe it, I see it. Like, Friday night was a good example of that. That was just amazing, seeing everybody, seeing just the love in the room and all the cards that were passed around. We had like a Valentine's Day thing for people who weren't there, where the leadership team and some other people wrote cards for other people in the church and gave them each other. And it was just heartwarming because the stuff on the cards was all like really wholesome and substantial, you know, based on our spiritual and life progression. And it was just beautiful to see people just purely loving one another. And that was a moment where I really saw the Holy Spirit shining through the people in this church. So that was great. I see it happening. And the thing is that we won't always be a perfect image of God on the outside, but each day we spend with him, he's taking that perfection from the inside and bringing it closer to the outside. More often you see it exhibited, and that's great. So these are the character qualities from the website, Ablaze website, that are part of the Ablaze 25. Like, if you go on there, there's a web page that you can look at. And, you know, there's integrity, humility, hard work, compassion, gentleness, self-control, friendliness, love, servants, other focus, generosity, patience. Those are all great. And I'm sure there are a whole lot more in the Bible, too, that, because, like I said, it's nuanced. And it takes listening to the Holy Spirit to get the character perfectly correct, which, like I said, isn't going to totally happen here. But my point is that instead of painstakingly zeroing in on each one of these character qualities, like I get trying to work on a problem area, specific problem area, but instead of trying to worry and stress and zero in and, you know, I got to know, have integrity and humility in your word throughout the day. Instead of that, how about we trust God that we're being sanctified, and we listen to the Holy Spirit for when we need to rein something in, when something's going wrong, and we trust Him. We trust that we've been fundamentally changed, that He's changing us, and instead of working overtime just to listen and act on what the Holy Spirit gives us to do and to change. Go ahead and pray. God, thank you for giving me these words to say to Blaze, and I just pray that as they go throughout their weeks, that this the idea that they should listen to you and get to know you and understand your character will just permeate their lives, and that they'll be living that way, and that you'll be continuing, that they'll trust that you'll be continually pruning them and changing them. And thank you for the way you do that and show your character through us. Amen.